Morning. Halvo, Caleb, and Hillary with you on WWIV, the WIB Wake Up Show. And among other things, today is also World Hemophilia Day. Now, what is hemophilia? It's a rare disorder in which your blood doesn't clot normally because it lacks sufficient blood clotting proteins. And if you have hemophilia, you may bleed for a longer time after an injury than you would if your blood clotted normally. And we're joined in studio this morning by Colin Orth, his mom Angie as well. Last fall, Colin, a senior at Chi, was selected from applicants all across the country to travel to the Big Apple to perform in a Broadway-style production called Hemophilia, the Musical. And so, perfect day to have him in studio to talk about it. Thanks for joining us, Colin.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
When did you find out that you had hemophilia?
Well, pretty much right when I was born, I was diagnosed with hemophilia. My parents saw that I was covered in a bunch of bruises and stuff, and they weren't going away. So they took me back, and they were like, what's going on?
We wanted to return him.
Spoken like a true mom.
Angie, how did the medical folks kind of guide you through all that?
Yeah, it was pretty scary at first. I mean, we don't have it in our family, and usually it's in within a family. But 20% of the cases are genetic mutations. And so we didn't know what was going on that first few months. He bruised all the time. We took him in. They thought he had leukemia, so they ran a bunch of tests, and it turned out he was one of their well babies. He didn't have leukemia, but he had a clotting disease called hemophilia. So lots of learning in the beginning his dad and I had to do.
Do you know how common it is, either of you? I mean, how common is hemophilia?
It is the opposite of common. It's very rare. There's only about 20,000 of them in the U.S., and it's just you don't really see it very often, especially in the world.
They say 1 in 5,000 live births. The number is still really small of people with hemophilia right now. In the 80s and 90s, almost everyone with hemophilia died of AIDS because of the tainted blood supply. And so that population is rebuilding. And so it tragedy is what surrounds the attention to hemophilia now, and awareness is a good thing because now we have safe factor products that they didn't have then.
And now this... there's varying degrees of hemophilia, varying severities. Can you speak to that at all?
So there are several different types of hemophilia. There's the two main types are hemophilia A and hemophilia B. Those are the different types of factors that you're missing. So hemophilia A, you're missing something called factor 8, and hemophilia B, you're missing something called factor 9. I have hemophilia B, which means I'm missing factor 9. And I have a severe version of that, which means that it's a lot more... like prone, if I get like a cut or something like that, it'll be more severe. With like if you have mild or moderate, then you don't really have to give it that much attention. But severe, you have to give it a lot more attention than normal.
Go ahead, I
was gonna ask, how does this impact your daily life?
Overall, it doesn't really impact me very much, only on times where I'm physically active, or if I accidentally trip or something like that, then it starts to feel bad, because I get something called a bleed, and they appear in the muscles, joints, in the form of bruises, things like that. And bleeds are basically when like your body kind of like really tenses up because the blood is kind of like stuck, and it can't really go anywhere. So you kind of like feel a major pain in wherever you have it, and then you have to take this infusion, which is what factor is, which basically treats us from having these bleeds, and it pretty much cures us almost immediately.
The WIB Wake Up Show, we're talking with Colin Orth on World Hemophilia Awareness Day, and now I'm seeing you're even wearing a jacket, Hemophilia the Musical. So you were selected from students all across the country to be part of Hemophilia the Musical, and again, Broadway-style production in New York City. So how in the world did that process start, and how blown away were you when you were selected?
Well, it's all thanks to a man named Patrick James Lynch. He's the guy who put this all together, and without him, I wouldn't be wearing this jacket. I wouldn't be in this position. I wouldn't be here today, probably. And thanks to him, I was able to spread my wings and fly all the way to New York and perform in something that I really want to do after I graduate from high school.
Can I chime in a second?
Yeah, please do.
So I saw the link last summer when Colin was away at camp that this was happening, and I had to, like, rub my eyes and like, is this true? Like, is this something that's real? I didn't believe it, because music is such a passion for him, and he had hemophilia and he was old enough. And so I showed it to him, and he's like, well, yeah. So he sent in an audition of him playing trumpet because he thought there'd be a little pit orchestra. And they emailed back and said, we're not filling a band. We're having backtrack music, but we want you to send in a singing audition. And it was out of his comfort zone, but he did it because he really wanted to do this. And they had, I'm not sure if it was 100, a couple hundred applicants, but they had lots of kids to choose from. And I'm glad he stood out because it was really a dream come true for sure. So he got there and got going.
I got to ask, when he was a kid and he would cut himself, I mean, did you freak out or how did you handle that?
No, well, probably. cuts not so big of a deal. Cuts clot because they scab. Mm-hmm. It's all the internal bleeding. So as he was learning to crawl, his knees were always swollen and bruised. And that learning to walk, you know, during some of those transitional moments, it was a little bit scarier. We had all the pads on the tables and things. But his dad and I got used to it pretty quickly. You start to see your baby's not going to break, even though they have bleeds. And Factor is such a miraculous thing, our safe Factor product. He had a port until he was a preteen, and so we could infuse at home easily. We keep his Factor there, and now he self-infuses into his own veins. And so knowing that we have a way to keep him safe keeps you from being too worried.
And Colin, you're passionate about music. Tell us about your plans beyond high school.
Well, I recently got accepted into the trumpet studio at Stevens Point, which is a really big moment for me because that'll actually mean that I get to take playing my trumpet a lot more seriously and actually be able to start to get gigs and learning from actual professional trumpet players. And I really want to become a traveling musician after I graduate from college or graduate school and see wherever that takes me.
Terrific. Thank you so much, Colin, and your mom, Angie, the Orth family. Thanks for coming in from Chi High, a senior. Terrific. We're really proud of you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again.
Good morning. Is this Bill Baltz?
It is.
Hey, it is. All right.
Bill
there
Baltz
we go.
Joining us.
Live
Thank
radio
you.
Technical difficulties, but we got you, Bill.
We got
good morning.
You. We got you.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but my phone just cut out all of a sudden.
It's okay. We got you. Thanks for calling us back. We really appreciate that.
All right,
that.
Bill, we're talking about the event May 4th at Barron High School and in the Commons in the gym there, a celebration of Jamie's return, the benefit for her uncle and aunt, Bob and Jennifer Smith. Tell us about it.
Well, several of us just wanted to put something together to help Bob and Jennifer as they transition into taking care of Jamie. So I work with Bob. I'm a contractor, and he's a subcontractor of mine, so I talked to him about it. He was a little hesitant, but he likes to work a lot, and I just wanted him to take some time away from work and make sure he's spending it with Jamie to help her her recovery. So we're just going to try to raise some money for the family, and then also we really want to celebrate her return in our community. So that's what we're doing.
Absolutely. So this event is May 4th. What kind of offerings will there be to raise the funds for the family?
Well, what we're doing is we're having a spaghetti feed. All right. And we're planning for 1,500 people, and that's and when we run out of food, we'll run out. But we don't know how many people will show up. We like everybody to show up that want to, but we may run out of food. Mm-hmm. Then we're also having a silent auction, a paddle raffle, a Chinese auction, and a live auction. And we're also having a bake sale. Someone came in kind of after our flyers were out and said they would like to do a bake sale, so we're doing a bake sale also.
Well, just scientific breakthroughs are just amazing what continues to be accomplished, these frontiers. And Israeli scientists printing a heart. Yes, it is possible, boys and girls, to 3D print a human heart using a patient's own cells.
Wow!
I know.
That is incredible.
Israeli scientists recently accomplished the feat. It was reported on Monday in the journal Advanced Science, which I know I get regularly. It's not a full human size heart. It's closer to the size of a rabbit's.
Okay.
But it's a complete
beginning. Heart. It's a complete heart with blood vessels, ventricles, and chambers.
Wow.
The fact it was grown from a patient's own cells reduced the risk of a transplant failing, according to researchers.
Yeah, because transplant rejection and all of that. Mm-hmm.
How far have printers come? I remember our first printer was the kind where you tear off the ribbons on the side.
And it goes,
Well, this is a lot better. The 3D gun deal, that created a lot of concerns.
Controversy, and, yeah.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, this yeah. is, I think we
How about using technology yeah. for good?
For
this,
good.
This like, is incredible.
3D yeah. printing hearts. That's amazing. I mean, that's, wow. And I thought we were cool at our house because we're making a heart pinata, like an anatomically correct heart pinata.
Wow. Because
that's how we roll. But you can 3D print something that's functional and doesn't just drop candy out of a chamber.
So
that's even better.
What's up with the heart pinata?
Well, you know, it's, I have this brainy kid who says, Mom, I need to make a pinata for school.
And then it's,
I want
a,
an
and then it's
anatomically
a beating
correct
heart.
Yeah, exactly. I want an anatomically correct heart.
So it's going to be filled with Easter candy?
Well, I mean, it's a school project, so it's not due for a while.
Uh-huh.
So,
okay.
You know, we're in the planning phase. So, okay, baby girl, Mommy can help you build a anatomically correct
Why not?
Heart. Why not? Because that's how we roll.
You never know. She may be like the next wave of inventing something like these 3D printers. So
could yeah. be. Could be. That's amazing, that though. Something. That's saving lives. And yeah, okay, it's only tiny, but oof, mm-hmm. it's right around the corner. Unbelievable what they're doing these days, I'm telling you. Masters just happened. We
yeah.
had talked about this briefly.
It was on Sunday. Huge ratings.
Yes.
They bumped up the play at Augusta National because of concerns of, you know,
severe weather.
Yes. And so what we've got for you right now is CBS Atlanta meteorologist Ella Dorsey responding to death threats she received.
Death
this is
threats.
Nuts. I'm not kidding you. After breaking into the Masters with a tornado warning.
And this is a tornado warning, not a
right.
watch, not a,
like this is imminent, clear and present danger.
Yeah,
right.
So this is her response to her death threats.
I want to address what happened earlier today. Here at CBS 46, there was severe storms coming through. The final round of the Masters was playing on our channel. And Jennifer and I cut into that programming when there was a tornado warning in Gwinnett County. This is not a plan that we stumbled upon. This was something that we had in place days in advance. We knew there was going to be severe weather, so we decided that if there were tornado warnings, we would do a double box so that we could keep you updated with the current weather situation, but that a lot of people that wanted to see the final round of the Masters could still watch that final round. We were on for about 10 to 12 minutes, and in that time, the thousands of hateful emails and phone calls and Facebook messages and tweets that Jennifer and I and the CBS 46 newsroom received is unacceptable. Here at CBS 46 News, our number one priority is to keep you all safe. It is the utmost thing that we try to do here as a news station. And in the future, that's what we will continue to do. We, especially when there is severe weather, want to bring you the most updated information. So in the future, regardless of what is on programming, when there is a tornado warning, especially when there is a tornado warning in Metro Atlanta, you can turn on CBS 46. We will absolutely be on. We will cut over any programming to keep you at home safe.
I want to give her a golf clap, but she deserves
yes.
more than that.
Like, massive
she deserves a
cheers.
I would hire her on the network. I would hire her
wow.
in New York. That
Good
is Ella Dorsey.
This wasn't like, hey, some malcontent tweeted
right.
at me. Thousands of emails, tweets, and phone calls from angry
wow.
people.
Wow.
Right.
And they didn't cut over the Masters coverage. They double boxed
they
it.
They double boxed it. You could still watch.
Who loves golf that much?
It was
do.
Exciting, but this is a tornado. You could lose your life. You could
yeah.
lose your home.
My dad has always said, what is an idol? An idol is anything in your life you love so much you are willing to sin in order to get it. And I say I love sports, but when sports causes you to be hateful and just ridiculously awful and mean toward other people,
and I
what
think,
in the world are we doing?
I think this goes deeper. This isn't just a love of sports. This is people who are doing things on social media platforms that they would never do face-to-face. And it's that lack of decorum and lack of common decency that people currently have when it comes to social media. And they're just suddenly going to be hateful and beyond hateful with death threats on social media. Really?
Are you kidding me? A death threat
Come
if she's
on,
trying
people.
To say, hey, there could be actual death in the
yeah.
forecast because there's a tornado warning. I'd like to say that we're better than that around here, but honestly, I think grace is the only thing that keeps us from sinking to the lowest possible level. So,
and how about Ella Dorsey saying
Love
that,
her.
I mean, yeah, just stand up, right? Like this, we planned this, we knew this was coming. We had the double box plan. And guess what? We're going to do it again because apparently we care more about your safety than you do.
She spoke so eloquently and passionately, and wow, I just aspire to be her. Look at, gentlemen, you know what happens when I get fired up.
Oh, yeah. First off, you're going to have to make thousands of people mad, and then...
I don't want to make thousands of people mad.
Well, Mark, you made a great point off the air, too, that I think bears repeating, too, when she said this is for your safety and you're responding poorly to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.